have your Bible tonight, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study this evening. The Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. Now, when you come to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, you'll find that Jesus is predicting his death and foretelling of the things that he will experience. And if you take your Bible in the Gospel of Luke and the 22nd chapter, notice with me a statement made by the Savior. If you will, look at verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." At this time, I would like to draw your attention to one statement. And what I'd like for us to do is examine the statement made from the lips of Jesus Christ, and then take that teaching of the apostles and make it to our lives, and the lesson is yours. If you have your Bible in the book of Luke and the 22nd chapter, notice in verse 28 the statement, "But you are those who've continued with me in my trials." I've often thought about the Savior's remark when he said, "my trials." You know, you could go through the life of Jesus Christ and you'll find the apostles walked and talked with him, and they shared and experienced many things with him. But when Jesus is coming to the end of his time on earth, you'll find they're beginning an argument. They're having an argument over who is the greatest. But then Jesus stops that argument and calls to their mind that they are nothing more than servants. And they need to recognize their position in the kingdom as servants. Then Jesus gives them a great compliment. In verse 28, Jesus said, "You have continued with me in my trials." Have you noticed that Jesus recognized that the apostles were there and they went with him even when he went through trials in life? Many times they did not understand the problems Jesus was facing. Many times they did not recognize what the pressure was upon him. And yet Jesus complimented them, and Jesus said, "You continued, you stayed, you progressed on when I was going through trials. You stayed with me." But then if you take your Bible, notice something. Notice that Jesus said, "my trials." Have you ever stopped to think that from the time that Jesus was born of the Virgin to the time that he was nailed to the cross, Jesus experienced one trial after another? When you look at the life of Christ, you'll find that Jesus was tempted and Jesus was tried and Jesus went through many obstacles. You remember back in the book of Luke in the 4th chapter where the devil came and tempted the Lord and tried to make him sin, tried to get him to do that which was contrary to God's will. And Jesus would not yield to the temptation. Then you can look in your Bible and you'll find that Jesus, when he walked upon the earth, he did not have a home like you and I. Jesus told Herod on one occasion, he said, "You tell that fox." He said what? "That foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So here is the Son of God, and he went through trials, he went through trouble. But then when you see the picture in the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter, when they've taken Jesus and they've arrested him and they've beat him and they nail him to the cross, have you ever thought of the trials that Jesus endured? But then when you look in your Bible in the book of Luke and the 22nd chapter, Jesus is looking at those people and he said, "You are those who've continued with me." I think that's a great compliment to the disciples. That they were there, though they didn't understand everything, And though there come a time that they weren't there, that when Jesus made this statement, He said, you continued with me in my trials. Then notice what He said. Jesus said in verse 29, I'll bestow upon you a kingdom. And I recognize that some people want to question what that means. I believe that when you read in verse 30, He talks about my kingdom, that they're going to be those that are in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to take that. I want to make three or four lessons, and the lesson's yours. The first thing I want to get into my mind tonight, and I'd hope to get into your mind, is that there are going to come trials in life. And what makes a difference is when I underscore my trials. You know, sometimes in life I'm fearful that we think that if we are a child of God, a Christian, we're not ever going to suffer, we're not going to sorrow, we're not going to have any problems. But here is the Son of God, the one we pledge our allegiance to, the one that we say that we're disciples of, the one we say we follow. And here He is when He is upon the earth, living in the flesh, He experiences one trial after another. If our Master suffers, if our Master goes through trials, then I want to tell you, as His servants, we too will have trials. You might as well put it down. You can be here tonight and you can have everything going for you. You may not have a gray hair on your head or a wrinkle on your face, but I want to tell you, my friend, there'll come a day trials will come. But what makes a difference is when they're your trials. When you experience something. When you go through the heartache of life. When you have all these things in life that seem to come tumbling in, and the problems of life and all the experiments, have you ever thought, my friend, what it's like when something happens that will shake the foundation you walk on? Ever watch the news at night? How many times have you turned on the television set and you'll see where a boy's been shot in Nashville, maybe on Jefferson Street, and you'll say, well, that happened. Don't really think much about it. May say you're sorry. But then when something happens in our town, we take a little bit more notice. But I want to tell you, when something happens in your life, it can shake your foundation. And notice, my friend, trials come. Put it down. Trials come. But I want you to think about being a Christian, that there's help in those trials. Look at what Jesus said in verse 28. You continued with me. Have you ever thought what that meant to Jesus? When He looked out and He saw these 12 that walked with Him and talked with Him, and He saw that they were dedicated, have you ever thought what it meant to Him to know that they loved Him and they followed Him and He served Him? And you know, in life, when you go through your trials, I'll tell you something, my friend, it means a lot to look around and have someone be there. Sometimes they may not know exactly what you're going through. But it means a lot to have somebody show they care. I'll never forget burying my loved ones at different times in life. And having people come up, and sometimes they don't know what to say. And if you don't know what to say, sometimes it's best just to put your arm around them and say, I love you. And you know something, my friend? That means a lot to have somebody there. To have somebody show they care. To have somebody show that they're thinking about you. To have somebody let them know that you're on your mind. And as a spiritual family, one thing we need to work on, and I need to work on in my life, is letting others know I'm thinking about them and be there for them. As God's people, we need to be a people that help one another and be with them through their trials. But I want you to recognize something else. Have you ever thought that God is with us in our trials? Now, sometimes He may feel far away, but that's all that is a feeling. God is there and God cares and God sees our pain. In the Revelation letter in the second and third chapter, you remember that the churches were going through great persecution, great trouble, great trial. And what does Jesus say time and time again? I see, I know, I hear. He recognized they were being persecuted. He saw their trial, and the Lord was with them. Open your Bible, if you will, and notice, if you will, time and time again what Jesus said. In the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, after Jesus had been crucified and He was raised from the dead, notice what He said before He ascends back to the Father. In Matthew 28 in verse 20, He says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. Sometimes you may feel alone, but I recognize tonight that if I'm a child of God, that I can pour my heart out to God. I can let God know my prayer. I got word Thursday of a good friend of mine who preaches out in California. And he called and told me that he's in the dying hours. Got hours, maybe days left. And I thought about when I went to my God in prayer. And I thought about what can you do for somebody that is at that point. And I want to tell you, sometimes we make the statement, all I can do is pray. I want to tell you, that's the most any of us can do. We're helpless in so many things, but the God we serve is not helpless. And the God that we serve is still in control and is still on His throne. And the thing I recognize is what my friend said. He made a statement not too long ago. He said, instead of, maybe we need to change the tone and tenor of our prayer. You know, prayer sometimes is difficult when we say, Lord, thy will be done. Sometimes that's a scary thing because His will may not be mine. But instead, if we talked about in Bible class this morning of trying to make the Lord's will my will, I need to make my will His will because His will ultimately will be done and it's always for good. My trial, I can take it to my God, and He's with me. But I want you to think about a third. I want you to think about the reward of being a child of God and the compliment. You ever done something good for somebody? And it makes you feel good? You ever looked out and you saw somebody that was struggling, somebody that was hurting, and you done something for them? You helped them through their trouble. I don't know how many times in life I've had people come and help me through my struggles in life. And one thing I recognize is if I want to be what God wants me to be, when I see someone hurting, I help them. You ever notice, my friend, all you can look around and you'll find people having trouble and trouble. When you preach, they always say, preach to the broken heart. You'll find one in every congregation. I think you find them in about every pew. And you think that we can help one another. And the most we can do is help one another get to heaven. You ever thought about, if I can help one get through this life and get to heaven, if I can help one through all the mire and trouble of this world get to heaven and they help me, it'll be worth it. I thought of people who helped me. And the only way I know to repay them is to help others. Through trial. Jesus said, you continue with me in my trial. Question. Are you continuing with us? And do you see He continues? You're here and you're not a child of God and you need to respond to the gospel invitation. We pray you come. Together we stand and sing.